That's something they made in during gift. We'll put it up here. That's awesome. Alex made that. Alex, you hate to stand up, but I'm going to make you. Where are you? Stand up, Alex. Alex is going to be going to Shepherd University. Are you going to be doing art? Yes. Look at that. That is tremendous. That is tremendous. I love it. I love it. Awesome. Great. That's awesome. Let us pray. Dear gracious God, encounter us now where we need to feel your presence and peace. Help us, Lord God, to know your presence in a deep, powerful, meaningful way this day. In Jesus' name, amen. A world without pain, suffering, a world without death. A life without struggle, a life full of hope and promise, filled with laughter and grace. A world at peace, with tranquility, and where reconciliation rule. Such is the world and the life that God intends for you. Yet this vision is at best elusive. Because every human being knows a life and a world that is in fact filled with pain and suffering and tragedy. The shared reality that death will come to us all as the great common denominator of the human condition, whether one is male or female, rich or poor, black or white, Republican or Democrat, Christian or Jew, Muslim or atheist. And when we first encounter this reality in our lives, we never forget it. Bill Hubbard was one of the first adults outside of my parents to have a lasting effect on my life. He was my best friend's father and my father's best friend. He was also my little league coach and perhaps the best coach that I ever had in any sport. He and my dad, they coached together. They went to church together. We vacationed together and we lived next door to each other. And Bill Hubbard was always a little larger than life. He was a former Air Force pilot who was scheduled to deploy to Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis had it not been avoided. He had been a big band leader. Remember big band music? He had been a big band leader in his youth and young adult years, acquiring some local acclaim in and around Miami. After finding his way to our hometown of Boone, North Carolina with his new family, he worked for years at Appalachian State University, and he eventually founded what is now known as the Hubbard Center for Professional Advancement. He was a legendary Little League coach. He founded the Boone Big Band, and he was quite a character. When our families would vacation together at Myrtle Beach, he and his wife Glenda would go each morning on a one-hour walk on the beach, but they would do it separately. You see, Glenda would walk 30 minutes in one direction and then turn around and walk 30 minutes back. Bill would walk 5 minutes to the Hilton and drink Bloody Marys for 50 minutes and then walk 5 minutes back. The first time I ever visited a big city was with Bill Hubbard. Because of our love of baseball, our shared love of baseball, we went to Atlanta to see the Cincinnati Reds, the big red machine of Pete Rose and Johnny Bench, play against the Braves for a weekend series. And he put together a top-notch weekend of baseball games, of fancy dinners at fancy restaurants. Big city experiences, something that was totally foreign to me at the time, but has certainly shaped me to this day. Bill Hubbard was one of the seminal adult influences in my life. When I was 15, he died. unexpectedly of a heart attack at the age of 52. We were next door neighbors, and so my dad ran over to his house when he saw the ambulance scream up the driveway and went with the family to the hospital. After returning and telling us that Bill had died, my mom woke my sister and I, and we went over and spent the rest of the day, the morning, with the Hubbard family. It was absolutely the most surreal, shocking experience that I had ever felt. It was a loss in our community. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Bill and Glenda. When they were making preparations for the funeral, they chose as the pallbearers, not the prominent men in the community who all knew Bill, from the university and all these other people, they chose the best friends of their sons, who all knew Mr. Hubbard either as a baseball coach or as a musician. And they chose me as one of those pallbearers. And as we were sitting there in the service, as my dad was sharing stories about Bill, and it overcame me and I began to weep. For the first time really in my life, I wept. Bitter, bitter tears of pain. And I'll never forget that feeling of loss, especially since it was the first real feeling of loss in my life. The feeling of uncertainty and that realization that death is real. No human being is immune to this reality. Jesus, we are told today, wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. Our reading tells us that when Jesus saw the reality and pain of death up close and personal, pain being felt by his friend Mary, Lazarus' sister, our scripture tells us that he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Now these words, deeply moved, have an overtone of anger to them, as if to say that Jesus was more than just sad and longing for his friend. Jesus was angry at the anguish that we feel when someone we love dies. Jesus' tears go beyond sorrow and frustration. I believe that this experience awoke Jesus, the human Jesus, to the nature and reality of human suffering, and I believe it affected him tremendously, and Jesus weeps. The God-man weeps, just like you and me. I'm not sure if any passage of Scripture so enlightens us to the compassion of God. It reminds us, it shows us, that Jesus, God in the flesh, fully experiences what it is like for us to lose those we love. That in fact, God knows this most basic, shared human anguish. And it angers God that we must experience it. Our lesson tells us that Jesus goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead, and it is natural then for us to wonder, if Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, why won't he raise my friend or my spouse or my child or my sister? As a pastor, I've been confronted by this frustration many times. And I think the most faithful answer that I have to share is to say that it's not that Jesus won't raise your beloved, it's just that he hasn't done it yet. The most profound characteristic of the story, though, for me, is not the miracle of raising a man from the dead. It's the realization that Jesus weeps, because what this tells us is that Jesus is more than just a superhero, that he raises Lazarus not just because he could. He raises Lazarus because he cares deeply. In Jesus, we get a glimpse of the nature of God. And in this story, we are told that our God cares as deeply about the ones that we love as we do. That God is not aloof from our pains and sorrows. God is not removed from our sufferings. God is not content with death having its way with us. No, ours is a God who is greatly disturbed by what death does to us. Ours is a God who is deeply moved by what death does to us. Ours is a God who weeps for me and you and for Bill Hubbard and for this world and for those dying in any battle and for those stricken by any disease, for those who are orphaned and for those who are widowed, for those who lose a job and for those who lose a marriage, for those who are addicted and for those who are bullied, for those who are abused and for those who feel abandoned. Our God weeps. Whenever and wherever this happens, yet ours is a God who is God enough to do something about it. Ours is the God of Ezekiel. The God who breathes new life into those places and moments where we feel dead inside. Ours is the God who makes us whole again, even beyond our own imagining that we could ever be whole again. God is the one who builds us back up when we are nothing but broken and dry bones. Our Christian faith, at its heart, is about a God who brings new life out of death. And not just our physical death, but all the deaths that accompany our lives, the death of relationships, the death of dreams, the death of professional goals, the death of self-esteem or even self-understanding. The healing of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus, defines for you and me in our dry bone moments the character of the God who has come near. The God who will heal you. The God who does bless you. The God who promises to sustain you. The God who freely forgives you. The God who abundantly nourishes you. The God who compassionately comforts you, and the God who graciously will save you. Again and again and again. God will save you and bring you new life. In Jesus' name. Amen.